read, and I know you're familiar with this, but this is just the one that was just on my heart. You know, I different people that I listen to, for some reason, they've been ministering on the importance of praising and worshiping the Lord and what it does for you. And Creflo Dollar made this statement this week, and it just stuck to me. You know, I can remember a time when we would come in and we would praise and worship the Lord, and the idea behind it was we wanted to worship the Lord, but it was like the thought behind some of the feelings that different people had was, now if I praise and worship the Lord, He'll do something for me. You praise Him to get, you know, praising gets God to do stuff for you. I can remember people with that idea. And I thought, but Creflo Dollar made a statement this week that just, you know, one of those statements that just kind of, you know, that's exactly, it just spoke it the way you knew it had to be. He said, when we praise and we worship God, it's not to get God to respond to us. We praise and we worship God is our response for what He's already done. Now, if you don't know that He's already done everything, then maybe you need to do something to get Him. But you know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we believe that He's already done everything. So my praise and worship is my response thanking Him for already doing it for me.
Amen.
You see the difference in the way you look at it?
Yes.
So when we come in here, it's not, well, Lord, I'm going to praise and worship You, but I really need You to do this. Well, Lord, I'm going to praise and worship You this morning, but I'm really hurting. Are You going to heal me today? There's something wrong with that. And what's wrong is that I praise and I worship Him regardless of my circumstances, because the Word of God says He's already done it. He's already done it. Saved means everything that I need. When He said I'm saved, it includes everything that I need.
That's right.
So I want to share this morning Psalm 103 out of the Message Bible. And I just want you in your heart and your mind this morning, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to thank Him as we say these things that He's already done. You know, David knew this. This is a Psalm of David. And I'm reading this. He knew that this was the nature of God. This is what He wanted to do for all of us. And he says, oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless His holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sin. Everyone. He heals your diseases. Everyone. He redeems you from hell. He saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy. Oh, you know what you've been crowned with today? Love and mercy. Not guilt and condemnation. When you accept Jesus Christ, He takes away it all. I can get up every morning saying, God, I'm crowned this morning with Your loving kindness. He wraps you in goodness. Beauty eternal. He renews your youth. Oh, okay. You're always young in His presence. So guess what? I'm going to stay in God's presence all the time. Amen? God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. Oh, have you ever felt like you were a victim? He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how He went about His work. He opened up all of His plans to Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor does He hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us according to our sins, nor pay us back for all of our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is His love to those who fear Him. And as far as the sunrise is from the sunset, He has separated us from our sins. Come on, church. Somebody ought to be saying amen. Somebody ought to be saying, that's me. Somebody ought to be saying, that's mine.
Yes.
As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear Him. He knows us inside and out. He keeps in mind that we're made of mud. And men and women don't live long. They're like wildflowers that spring up and blossom, but a storm snuffs them out just as quickly, leaving nothing to show they were here. But God's love is ever and always eternally present to those who fear Him, making everything right for them and their children. Now, did you catch that, parents and grandparents? Making everything right for them and their children as they follow His covenant ways and remember to do whatever He said. God has set His throne in heaven. He rules over us all. He's the King. So bless God, you angels, ready and able to fly at His bidding and quick to hear and do what He says. Bless God, all you armies of angels, alert to respond to whatever He wills. Bless God, all creatures, wherever you are, everything and everyone made by God. And you, oh my soul, bless God. Can you say that? And you, oh my soul, bless God. Come on, give Him the praise, church. He deserves our honor this morning and our praise. You know, let's leave our work behind. Let's leave home behind and families behind. And let's focus our minds and our hearts on blessing the Lord God, who's worthy to be praised this morning. Are you ready? Amen. Let's praise Him then. Amen. Glorify. glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank
There's
you,
so
Lord.
Many ways that God protects us Glory, every day. And sometimes we don't even realize it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Kaylin was traveling from Richmond this week, Wednesday, coming to meet us in Somerset. And she felt like something fell off her car, and her bumper had been, she'd been having trouble with it. She thought it had fallen off, so she pulls over to the side of the road. And she gets out and looks, and the lug nut had broken, and her wheel was just about to come off. Now, God protected. Look what the Lord has done. You know, every day in our lives, as we look back, we probably don't know at the times that the angels of the Lord has protected us from having a wreck or gotten us at the right place just at the right time. And, you know, we need to honor Him. And there's so many praises, you know, when you think of looking at what the Lord has done and giving Him the honor. And remember, and when you're walking in His presence and you're constantly thanking Him, looking at what the Lord has done in our lives. Hallelujah. Well, look what the Lord has done. Come on.
Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He took my mind. He saved me. We're just in time. I'm going to praise His name.
Praise this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Pat, give me a praise.
I just want to praise the Lord for what He's doing in my family and for my friends.
Amen. You know, I had a person tell me this week that they were out with their mom, and her mother's rings were too big. Her mother was elderly, and she was trying to get something done, and they'd gone into a store and got in the van to leave, and her mother looked down, and her rings were gone, her wedding rings that her husband had gotten her and all that. They called back one place, and they weren't there, and they called back the other place, and guess what? Somebody had found her rings in the floor, picked them up, taken them to an honest cashier, and that cashier said, oh, yes, those rings are here. And, I mean, they were really, really nice rings. Now, that's something to praise for. You know, God cares. Sherry?
I got two things I got to tell you.
first, Becky called me this morning. You know, she broke her ankle. She played up. She was watching Joel Osteen today, and it said exactly what she needed to know. You know, stop hanging around. Watch your counsel. Watch your friends. And God's got the right friends in your life to come, and that was awesome. And Becky said, I keep hearing that. Oh, I said, that might be confirmation. And then on the ring story that you have, I have a class ring, a New Life class ring, when I used to go here. And I wore it, and it was loose, but I thought I'd be all right. Well, I must have lost it at work. I thought I lost it at home. I couldn't find it anywhere. And then one night they called me and said, Sherry, do you know this person's class ring? I don't know. I said, that is mine. They found it in some bows that they were straightening. That was just a miracle they even found that.
Hey, you know, listen, nothing is impossible with God. You know, we get to thinking, well, that's just a minor thing. No, it's not. God loves you. When your children lose things, doesn't it bother you when they lose something that's important to them and you want to find it and you want to fix it? Well, now imagine how God wants to. He's a fixer. He's a finder. Somebody else got to praise. Amen. Amen.
My son-in-law to Kentucky. He's never been here before and putting his family back together. And I know the Lord's going to bless him.
Amen. We're glad to have him here, too. Amen. We are glad.
I have a praise.
Yes.
I'm praising the Lord that I made it through this week. I don't know about any of you all, but I had a rough week. My boss was out. I was in charge of my whole entire store. So I was doing his job, my job, and then dealing with customers today. And I think everybody was having a bad week, and they all decided to take it out on me. But that was okay. And I just praise the Lord that I made it this week. And let's just be real. Raise your hand if you had a bad week this week.
Come on,
raise your hand. If I know y'all had a bad week
this
week.
Come on.
Because I know.
Hallelujah.
It just hit. So, you know, let's just think about this song. You made it here today.
Amen.
You
look
got
what
something
he's
to
done.
Praise him
Amen.
About.
Amen. And, you know, the thing is, remember what I said my opening statement about was, praise and worship is not about God responding to my praise and worship. Praise and worship is me thanking him and my response for what he's already done. You say, well, Pastor Laverne, I don't have it yet. It doesn't matter. If the order's been made, it's on its way. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, I was bound by the chains of darkness and sin. I had no hope and no peace of mind. Well, my sins were scarlet. He walked through white as snow and he opened up my blinded eyes. There's a lot of names out there, but there's only one name that matters. There's only one name. Jesus said, it's only by the name of Jesus that things are going to happen in our lives, that we're going to get things done, because the only name that matters is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Affection I need.
feel my Father smiling on me. The only name that matters to me.
And yours is the name.
And yours is the name. The name that saved me. Mercy and grace. The power for me. Your love is all I ever needed.
Father God,
thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank
By
you,
the
Lord.
Word of our mouth, and the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
All those things you walked through this last week, you overcame. Because Jesus had already overcome the world for you.
Amen.
And I mean, you can say what you feel.
Amen.
And it's not going to help. But when you begin speaking the word of God over your life and over your circumstances, first of all, it's going to change your attitude. It's going to change your attitude. And then it's going to begin to change that behavior and those things around you. But when you give in to gloom, doom, despair, and agony on me, you affect everybody around you. You radiate despair. You radiate frustration and sometimes even anger. So regardless of what kind of week you had, regardless of what was heaped on your shoulders this week and you came in here this morning, you begin to realize how much you can overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony.
Had a couple things. Just in general, I've been thinking about, and with all the challenges we've been facing, how blessed I am to be working in places, aggravating as it is, and financial challenges I face time to time, that is still growing and still doing. And I do feel blessed for that. But really what I wanted to comment on is that bad week, my wife's had her share of things lately. And to see her getting in and up and clapping and dancing, this is where her positive comes from. And when she misses from here, because reading is not the same. The fellowship is a big part of what goes on with Sherry. And I see her different here. That's a good thing.
Amen. For all of us. Amen. Because when we come together, we draw strength from each other.
Amen.
Amen. And when we go out of here, we are not the same as when we came.
Right.
Amen. Because there's something about somebody saying, well, you know,
Amen.
It was rough for me too, but God, but God. So
but
you
God.
Can start off brand new week, brand new day. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody said it was going to be easy. It's right. It's just worth it. Come on. It's worth every sacrifice you made to get in the presence of God and to get into fellowship with believers and praise and worship Him.
Amen.
There are memories made that when those times are bad, you can just close your eyes and you can just see, well, you know what? I remember what they said, and I see what God did in their lives. God's going to do it for me too, because He's not a respecter of persons. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, brother.
You know, before I sing this song, I just want to, let me say this, guys. It's going to get worse. And it's not nobody's fault. It's just the word. It's got to get worse before it gets better. And until we face up to reality and understand that the world is the world, and we as Christians have stepped in out of the world, oh, yeah, that we made a big step when we said, God, I believe everything that you said here. Now, it's our responsibility, instead of letting the gloom, doom, and despair get us down, is to believe what the Bible says. We need to keep our faith and keep our hope and keep everything that the Word says right here. Because without that, we're going to go right back to the world. Amen? So you just remember that when you step in here and everything has gone downhill. As Sister Shirley say, but God.
But God.
He's got it all under control. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one, and He never sinned, but suffered as if He did.
Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. Power in hand, speaking the Father's plan, sending us out, light in this broken land. All authority, every victory. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name. You overcame,
you overcame,
you overcame.
Worship you, Father God. You know, as we come into his presence and worshiping and praising him this morning, something that as we were studying Thursday night at the Bible study, and to realize and just kind of when you start putting the events together in the life of Jesus Christ, you know, he went down to be baptized by John the Baptist, and after he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, baptized him, completely immersed itself in Jesus, and the Father God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the word goes on to say, and immediately he was led into the wilderness to be tested and to be tried. And he fasted, he didn't eat and drink for 40 days, nothing. And then the devil came to him with the three temptations that we studied about. And he overcame them all by the word, the spoken word, and he overcame it. And Satan was defeated. And the Bible says, and the devil left him for a season. But you know, when he found out, and this is the thing that got me, when he found out he could not get Jesus to deny who he was, he tried to make him doubt if you're really the Son of God, or he tried to get him to worship him, but he couldn't trick him up. And then Jesus goes back into Nazareth, and he goes up to the synagogue, and this is what got me, and he opened up the scriptures and he began reading there in Isaiah where it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me," and he read through all that and he said, "In this day is this scripture fulfilled in your life." And you know what those people did? They were his own people. They said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" And they got so mad when he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in this place," that they were going to seize him and throw him over the cliff and kill him. But you know why they couldn't? Because it wasn't his time. But the thing is, the enemy said, "Well, I can't get him to deny me, so I'll just have him kill him." And he couldn't. See, the power in the name of Jesus, don't quit. You've got the power. You've got the angels encamped around about you to protect you as you walk and you say, "Okay, God, I'm so glad I belong to you." This morning, if there's anything that you're trying to carry around that you need to cast off, you really need to realize the power of the name of Jesus, that there's power in the name of Jesus. If there's somebody you're praying for, you center in on them and say, and begin to declare their healing as we sing this thing about Jesus breaks every chain. And you maybe think, "Well, you know, I'm tied to this and I'm tied to that." Well, Jesus wants to break it. He wants to break it off of you in the mighty name of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is to empower us. It's not for me just to get goosebumps and have a good time. It's powering to flow out of me. Amen.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. I hear the chains falling. Break every chain, break every chain. I hear the chains falling.
Hallelujah.
I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Right now in the name of Jesus, I break the spirit of poverty over anybody in this place. And you know, you may have a lot of money, but you could have a spirit of poverty when you're trusting in that money. You know, we need to trust in God. Hallelujah. And I break a spirit of a death. Oh my goodness. There's a somebody or somebody you know or somebody listening that's been thinking about just, well, I'll just take my own life. And I break that power right now in the name of Jesus. It's gone. Those chains are broken in the mighty name of Jesus. And I break the spirit of cancer. And I break the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Those chains cannot remain and they cannot stay in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we begin to praise you and we worship you for all that you said you did in Psalm 103. We receive and we believe everything, Father God. You took every sin. You healed every disease and every sickness. And Lord, you're our provider, Jehovah Jireh. We praise you. We hear him falling off. We hear it now. I hear the chains falling. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
And you know, we're going to thank him for what we believe he's done. Everything is broken. He's provided. He's done it. He overcame it and has given us the power to overcome. And Lord God, we're just going to worship you now. You know, and you just do what you feel led to do. You know, and sitting and worshiping him's fine. Standing, or if you want to kneel at the altar or kneel right where you are, because he's just waiting for you to worship him. And after praying and believing him for all those things to be broken, we believe they're done. And we're going to respond to him and his power. Hallelujah.
Even now, he's waiting for us to fall on our knees and worship. Just go.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, just keep your hearts and your minds focused. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Pastor Shirley, you want to? I have the prayer list here that I want to do. You know, sometimes it's it's difficult to leave that realm of worship. And I just pray that everybody really sensed what God was doing here today and his awesomeness power. But while we maintain that, we want to lift up the following: Karen Keltner, broken ribs, Dimple Buck for healing, and Robert and Donnie Turner for salvation. Kim Mitchum's dad is better, but he's still in the hospital. Eva Burton and her family, let's pray for them. And John wants us to pray for him this week. He goes in for a surgery, and we just believe it's the beginning of his healing. Amen, John. God's amen. It's just the beginning of your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Are there any more prayer requests this morning? Yes, Pat. Benny and Tina. Yes. Okay, and that's June Saylor family, right? And her sister. They listen a lot of times. If you all are listening this morning, we just, we're going to lift them up in prayer, and we're so thankful. Yes, Gail. Okay, Gail's mom. Complete healing, that's right. Yes, Darlene. Now, this is your brother, Philip. Okay, Darlene's brother. Hallelujah. Yes, Edwin. Okay, Edwin's oldest sister. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord. Father, in this time, we just are amazed again, Father, at the power of your word. Thanking you again for the promises in Psalm 103. And we do bless you. Thank you for all that you have done. That every chain is broken. I pray that everything that needed to be broken off this morning was broken off during the praise and the worship. And Lord, with these names, we call them up to you, thanking you for breaking every chain of sickness, poverty, disease. Lord, if they need to be saved, we just lift them up, thanking you for moving in their lives. Lord, you've got people everywhere, or just speaking to them in that small voice, how much you love them. We lift up Karen. Thank you for her healing her broken bones, ribs. Dimple Buck for healing. And thank you for the salvation of Robert and Johnny Turner. And you know, we've been praying for them a long time. That's Barbara's brother. And one of these days, we're going to get the report. She's going to say, we're going to get that praise report that he's gotten saved. Kim Mitchum's dad, mm-hmm. Father God, I thank you that he belongs to you and that you've touched his body and healed him. Pray for the Eva Burton family and the things and decisions and things they have to make. And thank you, Father God, already for John's recovery Thursday in the mighty name of Jesus. And June's sister, Lord, you know what needs to be done there in healing. And Gail's mom, Father God, I thank you for this sweet lady for restoring her health, Father God, and giving her the peace and the faith to know that you want to completely restore her. Be with Darlene's brother, Philip. And then be with Edwin's oldest sister, Lord, that the power of your healing will flow through their bodies. And, Lord, that these people, Lord, that we pray for, that if they don't know that you want to heal them, that the message, that you will send a messenger speaking to them to pray over and declare what the Word says that you want to happen in their lives. Now we give the rest of the service to you, Lord, the children, the preschool, the nursery, and we give the youth class and all the teachers, Lord, and Pastor Jerry as he comes to minister to the people. Thank you for the powerful Word that you give him. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I'm going to dismiss the children and the youth.
Be all right, it'll be all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you to turn around to somebody and tell them God loves them if they don't know it. Say, if you don't know it, God loves you. I give a chance, some of these folks that took their kids back to Sunday school classes, or to give them a chance to get back in here for a minute, or a minute from now. But I tell you, it sure thinned out when they all left. That must mean we got a lot of young'uns.
Yes, we do.
Got a lot of young'uns. Now, I tell you what, I've been to some churches, you know, that are several years old, and you go to those churches, and you're blessed if there's somebody there under 50. I mean, you know, they're just, but young ones are the life of the church.
Amen.
And we want to do what we can to encourage them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about a gift. How many of you like to get a gift?
Amen.
You already got a gift. And do you know what a gift is? A gift is something you didn't work for. You know, if somebody comes up to you and they says, I've got a gift for you, and they give it to you, and they said, the only condition is you got to come over and mow my yard every week. That's not a gift. But they're going to say, I got a gift for you. Well, what's this for? Just because I love you.
Amen.
No other reason other than I love you. A gift is something that's worthwhile. And you know, sometimes you have parties and you say, okay, everybody bring a gag gift. And a gag gift is just something that it's funny, it may get a laugh or two, but it really doesn't do you any good. But a real gift is something that you have given to you and you receive it. You know, somebody could give you a gift and they could sit on your front porch or in the corner or in the closet, never opened. And you don't know what's in that gift. And you're missing out on the benefits and the blessings of whatever that gift is. Because you don't know about it or you don't care about it. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a gift this morning. And you'd be surprised at how many times in the New Testament that word is used. Gift or gifts or giving or given. See, that's the same thing. A gift is something that's given. So if you're given something, you're talking about a gift. And I want to start out with the scripture that I have in the bulletin this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. But it's a little longer than that one verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 says there is one body and one spirit. Just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now catch that picture. He's talking about the church. He's talking about us. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. First of all, within this passage of Scripture, we start in verse 7 with a gift, and it says, each one of us, grace was given. Grace was given. Grace is God's unmerited favor and His power work in you. Not just His unmerited favor, not just that He favors you and pats you on the head, but it's His power working you. It's the grace of God that raises the dead. It's the grace of God that heals the sick. It's the grace of God that saves the lost. It's that power working in us. And it says, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. What was Christ's gift? Christ's gift was Himself. His life, His blood. Lowering Himself from His position in heaven to come down here and be a human being. And ultimately His gift was our salvation. He gave gifts to men. And in 1 Peter we have another little thing about gifts. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You've got a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, now if you're a good steward of something, what does that mean? It means you use it properly and you take care of it. You don't abuse it. You don't neglect it. You're a good steward of it. You take care of it. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, as a good steward as opposed to a bad steward. Now, what is a good steward of the manifold grace of God? To me, it's somebody that uses the grace of God in the proper manner. And to use the grace of God to cover your desire to sin is not being a good steward of the grace of God. Amen. And there are people, and I don't understand, well, Yeah, I understand how humans think. They think kind of corruptedly. But you can start talking about you saved by grace and grace alone, and everybody starts wondering, what do you mean you're talking about? It don't matter what you live, how you live. Who said that? Paul had the same problem with people that he was preaching to. Shall we sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. I don't know how many times he told people, and they were just, there was this idea that, well, if we're covered by grace, it doesn't matter what we do. If you are a good steward of the manifold grace of God, the grace of God that lives in you will cause you to change from what you shouldn't be doing and do what you should be doing. But that change is not so you can earn brownie points with God. It's a reward for your believing Him and believing in His grace to begin with. It kind of goes back to what Laverne was saying this morning. We don't praise God to get something. We praise God because He's already given it to us. We praise God for who He is and what He's done. Not praising God so we can get something that we need, that He's already supplied. Now I'm going to say this, and this is a totally different subject, but if we knew how much God had given us and we knew the extent that God has already done for us, everything needs to be done, we wouldn't ask Him half the stuff we asked Him for. And we ask like we don't have it. We ask like that it's way off somewhere. And God has already provided everything. We've got to figure out how to make ourselves think rightly so that we can appropriate it. Now, as each one has received a gift, he's talking about believers, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everything that you have comes out of the grace of God. Every ability that we have, when I read that last scripture, when he says, and he's given some, be prophets, apostles, etc., etc. He's given them. They didn't earn that spot. I tell you what, I look back in my life, I never earned the right to be a preacher or a pastor. Now, if I'm not a good steward of what he's given me, I can do a lot of damage in my position as preacher and pastor. And there are some instances where you can do the best you can do and you can do everything right and you still do damage because of the way the other person or the way somebody else is thinking. Well, he was preaching right at me this morning. Now, I didn't even know he was going to be here. You preach the Word of God. You preach the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, you need a whole lot more. Let me back that up again. You need to hear a whole lot more of what you can be and how good God can make you rather than how bad you may be right now. You know, you can get in somebody that's an alcoholic. You can get in their face and you can rant and rave on them and you're going to hell if you do this and you ain't going to ever amount to nothing and all this kind of stuff. And they'll say, dude, I know it. But they don't ever see themselves any better because you told them you see them just like they see themselves. And that's a good thing that God doesn't do that. God looks at us since Jesus did his sacrifice, since he died and was raised from the dead and took care of sin, God looks at all of us as what we could be with him, not what we are now, no matter how bad we are. God doesn't want to see the concept of you being bad. He wants to see what he can do for you. And I'll tell you what, none of us are beyond the point of being changed. None of us are beyond the point of receiving a gift. Gift of God. A gift from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to move fast here to get to my main point. But I want you to see these scriptures about gifts. 2 Corinthians? Well, I was wrong. It's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. And that's what it says here on my piece of paper. And why I thought it said 2, I don't know. 1 Corinthians 12. And I knew this scripture wasn't 2 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, I just read you a portion of Scripture for the most part that is what we refer to as what? The gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. And again, using the idea of gifts, it's something you didn't earn. It's something God chose to give you. Whatever it might be. And you have a gift. And you'll see before I'm finished this morning that you have a gift, and you probably never, you thought of it, but you didn't think of it. But we have the gifts of the Spirit. We have all of these laid out here, given to us by God. Now, what we're responsible for is a good steward of His manifold grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. The Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, I'm going to read this a different way, and you see if there's any difference in the way, in the meaning by the way I read it this time. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that God has given us because of our works and our behavior. That changed the meaning of it? What does it become? It becomes not a gift. Something we earned. Something we earned. Now, I'll tell you what, there is a nature in mankind. And it's that selfish nature. And we might not even recognize it as selfishness. But we want to have something to do with everything that we receive, that we prosper thereby. We've just got to have it. You know, somebody, there are people, you know, that they go over here and they'll do some big job for somebody, and the person will ask them, well, do I owe you anything? No. Here, let me give you this, $20. No, I don't want that. You know that selfishness? Sometimes we think that's, you know, being nice to people. But you know what we do with it? We rejoice in it. If I get paid for it, it kind of takes something off of it. But if I don't take anything, then I can go, you know, I helped them more and I didn't charge them nothing. See me? Now think about that for a minute. We have a hard time. Now, on the other hand, we have a hard time accepting salvation from Jesus Christ or from God through Jesus Christ. We have a hard time accepting it without us having to do anything about it. And what I'm talking about doing anything about it is having a part in our own salvation. You know, the only part you've got in your own salvation is believing that Jesus died for you. That's the only thing that you can do to appropriate your own salvation. But that's not what the world tells us, that's not what we tell ourselves, and that's not what the devil tells us. All the works that we think that we need to do, all of the good deeds that we think we need to do, it's wonderful to do those good deeds. And we should be doing those good deeds. But not to earn our position and not to earn our salvation with Jesus through Jesus Christ. But to reflect what we know we have received. I've been made righteous. I'm going to use my righteousness. I'm not going to leave it wrapped up in the closet. I've been born an overcomer, so therefore I'm not going around all the time declaring, I can't, it won't work. We are more than conquerors, but we didn't make ourselves more than conquerors. We became more than conquerors when we signed in with Jesus' work. Given freely to us by God. You know, we have never really got the grasp of what I'm getting ready to say right here. A lot of Christians have never gotten the grasp of what I'm getting ready to say. We do not do good works in order for Jesus to save us. We do good works because we know He already has saved us. Amen. Now, getting a little serious here. Romans chapter 11. Verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For the gifts and the calling of God are, I think King James says, without reproach. Without repentance, okay, I knew it was something of that nature. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That means that God's not going to ever change His mind about the gifts and the calling that He's given you. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He's not going to take them back. He's not going to come down and say, is that gift still sitting in the closet? Well, let me have it back if you're not going to use it. And that gift will sit in the closet. He'll never take it back. But it'll always be yours, and it'll always be there, and it'll always be doing whatever you decide that you're going to do with it. Okay, now keep that in mind. And remember this. You don't have to go there. You can if you want to. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did he do? He gave. His only Son was a gift. Not something we earned. Not something we were even interested in. Do you know why? Do you know why the Old Testament covenant, the Mosaic covenant, do you know why God established that? He established that for the same reason that he allowed them to have a king when they got Saul as their king. He didn't want them to have a king. He wanted them. I mean, he wanted to be their king. He wanted them to look at him as their king, and everything would have been fine. They didn't need a king. But they got a king because they complained that they weren't like all the other nations around. We need a king. So God gave them a king. He didn't want to. And you know, God gave the old covenant through Moses. Because when you go back and look at it, man was determined to earn his right to fellowship with God. Man wanted to know, God, what can I do to be pleasing to you? And he said, okay, you want to know what you can do to be pleasing to me? Here it is. Now do it. Oh, just in case you can't, let's put some sacrifices in with it. Let's say that this blood, the blood of this goat, the blood of these animals, covers your sin, takes it away every year when you do that. And so you know it was never the keeping of the law that the people had sins forgiven for. It was always the sacrifice. They never were able to keep the law, but the sacrifice worked. God would forgive their sins because of the sacrifice. And what was the sacrifice? A shadow of his sacrifice to come. And I like to think of it this way. It got to the point there when around Jesus' time, they were in a big mess. The Romans were ruling over them. And God said, okay. Time's come. We've been doing it your way long enough. Now we're going to do it the way it's supposed to be. We're going to do it my way. And he sent his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so now we see all of these gifts, gifts of the Spirit. We see the gift of God's grace, gift of the Son. And it is gifts and callings are irrevocable. He doesn't take them back. We come to my last scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, what's the through faith? It's the through faith. It's the faith that you had to accept, to believe and accept that God had made provision for you to be saved. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. In the Philippians, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's pretty clear. I don't understand how the church has messed those two verses up as bad as they have. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, plus all that we lay upon you to do. There was an earthquake one time at a jail. The doors came open, the chains, fell out, everything went haywire. The jailer ran in before this man called Paul and his friend Silas and said to him, "What must I do to be saved?" And if he had had to have done what some churches require you to do to be saved, it would have taken him 2 weeks to have gotten saved. But when he came in there and fell on his knees before him, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's all. Yeah, it's a gift. You just believe you. Believe you got it. Just believe in the gift. Not of works, lest any should boast. But what about the works and all that? Next verse. For we are his workmanship. We're his creation now. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Now the next word is an important word. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. It doesn't say we are created in Christ Jesus by good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not in your own strength, not when you were born a baby and you were going to work these good works and one day God is going to say, "I'm pleased with you and proud of you." No, we were created in Christ Jesus. When we became a new man in Christ Jesus, when we became a new creature in Christ Jesus, we were created for good works. That's what we were created for. Now, comes back to the other scripture that I said earlier. Let us be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, or the manifold grace that was shown in Christ Jesus. Why are we good stewards? By producing good works. But those good works are not for our salvation purpose. They're because we're saved, not to keep us saved. His gifts are irrevocable. He'll never take them away. Now there's a little issue in the fine print at the bottom. You can quit believing. you can quit believing. And I don't know how that'll change you and God's relationship at that point. But if you're going to use and be a good steward of the gift that God's given you, let your life be filled with good works. Just an overflow of what God's done for you. Just an overflow of what Jesus Christ has done for you. God gave you the gift of righteousness. Put it on and use it. He gave you the gift of overcoming. Wear the thing and use it. He gave you the sword of the Spirit. Pick it up and use it. You use it because of who you already are, not because of what you're trying to become. I can promise you there is more failures in the lives of people that are using the gifts to become what they think they need to be rather than believing that God has made them through Jesus Christ the thing they need to be, and therefore they can do these things. It comes down to understanding God, understanding yourself. Gave you the gift of salvation. The gift. So quit trying to work to keep it. You're struggling with that because you're insecure. There is such a thing as the security of the believer. You can be secure when you realize what Jesus has done for you. And He loves me. And if I mess up, He's not going to fry me. I read somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but it had, might have been at the footnotes, the bottom of my page in the scriptures, but it's talking about adopting a child. And said so you adopt that child, you bring it into your home, and the first time the child doesn't do something that you think he ought to do, you just kick him out in the street and say, "Hi, you're done, you messed up." See, I know what living with adopted children. They become just like your own. And no matter what they do, you never want to throw them out. Never. Now sometimes they get to the point where something has to be done, but it's never like, okay, you spilled your milk this morning out the door. Spilling milk's not rebellion. Spilling milk is being uncoordinated. Different things that we do. God has a lot of perseverance with us because He wants to see us using our gifts. Oop, you didn't use your gift. You didn't open it. Out of here. We suffer when we don't become good stewards of His manifold grace. Because He loved us that much. No matter what we've done, what we've been, what we are now, He still loves us. And if we'll wake up and realize what He makes us, we'll have a better opinion of ourselves. We will be saying, "I can," instead of "I can't." "I will," instead of "I won't." "I am," instead of "I'm not." And it'll be all about the right things. So, take your gift, and when you leave, take it with you and use it. Let's stand. Bow our heads and just meditate before the Lord. Every one of us in here, how do you see your relationship with God? What is the strength of your relationship with God? Is the strength of your relationship all those good things that you've done and the way you've performed? Or it's the strength of your relationship with God. He loves you. and you know it, and you love him back. And then on the basis of that relationship, you become a good steward of the manifold grace of God. You're the one that decides. Nobody can decide for you. But I hope this morning has helped you. If you need a little push in the direction of trusting completely in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thanking you so much for the unspeakable gift that you've given us, for the grace that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, for the love that's in the heart of God. Lord, I thought of that scripture, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And Lord, I thank you for being with each one here this morning as we examine our use of the gifts and the grace of God. And that we use them and receive them properly. And that we realize the only thing that we can do to assure us of our own salvation is to believe in what Jesus has already done. So, Lord God, let us walk in strength and victory this week, because that's who we are. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good week. And remember who you are. And the leadership meeting will be in here in the sanctuary for just a few minutes after we're dismissed.